I'm more interested in watching McDavid at the World Championships. I hope he goes.
You think he will play?
Well, I hope he goes. I don't know why you wouldn't. You played deep into the playoffs last year.
I think he will because I think Sid went a couple years ago, and I think he's the kind of guy that would
Sid
say,
did.
You know what? Sid went. I should probably go.
Good point, Jeff. Good point.
I'd like to see that. Like watching him play, I'll watch him play in a beer league game down the
road.
But
McDavid went a couple of years ago to the World Championships, the first year in the league.
Yeah, his first year, right? Yeah. There was some controversy a little bit because of his shoulder injury. Was that the same year and he came back and they weren't sure if he should go?
This is only his third year in the league.
Craig, let me ask you this.
So I guess so, yeah, there you go.
Let's just say you got hired by the Edmonton Oilers or you went for an interview and Daryl Cates sat you down. No, I'm being serious because I want to know what, like, I'm not a managerial type of person. That's not my gig. But if he said to you, Craig, what are you going to do next year for the Edmonton Oilers to get in the playoffs, what would you say? Would you say it's not happening, or would you say this is what I would do?
Well, yeah, I don't think you can just automatically say it's not happening, but you better paint a realistic picture. And the realistic picture, see, what always amazes me, and the Oilers have missed the playoffs 11 of 12 years. So last year was nice, right? But somehow everybody thinks that last year is what they are. I think last year was the aberration. I don't think they're fast. I don't think they have enough good defensemen. I don't think they have enough skill up front. So where are you going to go get the skill?
Okay, so there's somebody sitting defensemen? In an interview room and the owner
I would tell them, you better be patient because this is going to take some time. We'll work to try to do the things we can.
Can you imagine, though? 12 years, they've been terrible.
Yep.
And you better be patient. If I was a fan, we would have a radio show if we were out there.
Oh, it would be quite entertaining to hear us, like, the overdrive version of Edmonton. Imagine a guy, like, let's say they clean house, or they just get rid of the coach, and somehow, like, Quinville's available, a good comparison to what happened here in Toronto a few years ago when Babcock was hired. And Quinville shows up and says, if you don't think there's pain coming... There's pain coming. The reaction in Edmonton, I wouldn't even be able to comprehend because of McDavid. Because McDavid and Draisaitl.
And keep going.
And Nugent Hopkins.
Okay, and you're going to stop real quick.
Right, but that's better than what the Leafs had when Babcock got here. They had nothing when Babcock got here.
Really?
Nothing.
Oh, really?
Oh, what did they have?
Well, wait a second. They had Morgan Riley. They had Kadri. Okay.
Like, okay. Where's McDavid and Draisaitl?
Wait a sec. The point is, you know what? And I keep saying this. Connor McDavid was a blessing. We all know why he was a blessing.
A gift from God, they call it.
And you know what? And he was an absolute curse for the Edmonton Oilers. Because you look at McDavid and you go, here's this brilliant player. And how they've drafted terrible for 15 years.
But he still exists. Like, yeah, he's a part of their program.
Guess what? And they don't have anybody else to help him.
That's fine. But it's better than what the Leafs started with when Babcock got here.
I don't think so.
You really don't think so?
No, they had Nylander. He was already drafted.
Okay, but he hadn't played a game in the league. We didn't know what he was.
Well, guess what? They didn't have enough skill. Their Bakersfield team out of the playoffs.
Right.
They don't. Tell me who their good prospects are.
It was an unmitigated disaster here in Toronto, too, though,
Craig.
No,
wait a second. They had Phil Kessel on their team. They traded him for a reason.
Phil.
Okay? They had Riley. They had Kadri in the system. They turned Kessel. They had drafted Nylander. They had the fourth pick coming up when Mike Babcock came here. Trust me, the Oilers don't have very much at all
in terms
of high-end skill.
Bob,
I'd like
McKenzie
to welcome in our insider.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
You rolled into a beauty here.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, because we're talking about Edmonton, right, and what's going on there. And,
yes.
Well, my question to Craig was, like, if you're interviewing, like, let's just say they clean house, and you're sitting in front of the owner, Bobby, and he said, I want to make the playoffs next year. What are you going to do about that? I just wonder what the answer would be.
You know what? It's a lame answer to give, but it's Cam Talbot's going to be better this next year than he was this year.
You hope?
Yeah, that would be the expectation. I can't imagine he'd be that bad again. They've obviously got to get somebody to push him a little harder, maybe. If healthy, Larson and Klefbom have to be better next year than they were this year. I mean, I don't know any.
Bobby, not just better, like much better.
Yeah, but the point well taken. But I mean, when I look at the Ottawa Senator disaster, I think there's a lot of parallels with the Edmonton Oilers disaster, and that is, when they were successful, they got fantastic goaltending. Whether it was from Anderson or Condon, their goalies were very, very good. When Edmonton was good last year, they got very, very good goaltending, Vezina caliber goaltending from Cam Talbot. The best Ottawa Senator player and defenseman is Erik Karlsson. He was outstanding last year. Wasn't very good this year. Last year, Oscar Klefbom and Adam Larson were very good. I mean, they were, and they were better than very good in the playoffs. And so when you sat and looked at it, and this is how people ended up picking Edmonton as a Stanley Cup possibility this year. Well, they've got a great goaltender in Talbot. They've got this really good shutdown pair that played so well in the playoffs. They're just going to pick up where they left off. And so I think we overinflated how good Edmonton was, but I also think we're underselling how bad, underselling how bad they are. We are saying they're just terrible, they're garbage, it's a hot tire fire, and maybe it is, but maybe Talbot and those guys are just going to play a lot better, and right away, just doing that alone, they're going to be better. But they've obviously got issues. Who's kidding who? I mean, I'm not saying you just go to, if you're Darrell Cates, you sit there and listen to whoever's the general manager explaining, well, yeah, the goalie will be better, the defense will be better, and we're going to be fine. Because they traded Hall for Larson, they traded Eberle. They don't have enough scoring on the wings. The Lucic contract looks really poor. He's got a goal at the end of the season and try to reinvent himself. And most people would say he can't do that at his age or whatever. But you know what? Maybe if he is 7 to 10 pounds lighter, maybe he trains differently, maybe he completely looks at everything that he's done and how he's approached hockey and says, I can't have another year like this, and I got to find a way to make myself more useful. He's a pretty smart guy, and maybe he's going to do that in the offseason, and maybe he is better next year. But there's a lot of hopes and prayers in there, too.
If Lucic is anything like me and the phone calls I got, it's 20 pounds less.
7 to 10 isn't going to cut it.
No.
Maybe.
See, I'm not suggesting Lucic is out of shape. What I'm saying is he's built his game to play a certain way. And now that he's older and now that the game has changed, he's got to adapt.
He's got to move around the ice differently than he does right now.
He's got to try to get first step quickness a little bit and probably would. Probably would make sense for him to be a little bit lighter because he doesn't need the game's not as heavy as it was. It's quicker.
Right.
So he's gotta take a little something off the heavy hockey and you know what? He's a really, really smart hockey guy. Like he really is tuned in to what goes on in the league and what players do and all of that. And so I would think he'd be the first guy to be well aware that this off season that he may need to alter his training, he may need to alter how he eats and trains and try to come back next year and not have his contract and himself be an albatross on an organization that desperately needs something on the wings.
Well, their neighbor in the province might be doing them a bit of a favor here too with this meltdown in Calgary.
Yeah.
Because now they're done and now... Like, I had Edmonton in, I had Calgary, and I thought Calgary was well-built and was going to be a pretty good team, and this is just a meltdown now. And, like, who do you feel better about going into the offseason? Is it definitely Calgary, or...
Well, Calgary looks like a good team. They thought they addressed their goaltending issues, and for much of the season, they did. And then Mike Smith got injured. They didn't get enough from the guys behind him. And then even down the stretch here... Mike Smith faltered, and whether that's just he got out of his rhythm, he got injured, he was out of shape, whatever, when he came back, he wasn't 100%. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They maybe needed a little more depth in their scoring. They've got a really good defense, but they didn't seem to maximize. Like, you know, when you've got Giordano and you've got Brody and you've got Hamilton and then you add Hamonic and you bring in Michael Stone, you think you're building, you know, and you think you've addressed the goaltending. And so if all you're missing is third line scoring, I mean, that shouldn't be enough to keep you out of the playoffs.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And, because you know, you've got Goodrow, you've got Monahan, you've got...
Kachuk's had a good year. He's been
injured.
And
the problem is, it was like a perfect storm, too. At the precise moment you needed to push to get in, you don't have your goaltender. Now you don't have Matthew Tkachuk. And he's such an important player on their team. So it's, you know, they should still be a good team, and it'll be interesting to see, because as we all know, Murray Edwards, Ken King, Brian Burke, I mean, this is the year they expected to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So now what happens, you know, to somebody's head roll is Glenn Gullitson is in trouble. What kind of pressure Brad Freeliving going to face? That's a real tough one in Calgary.
Could you see Van Riemsdyk being a guy that they might kick tires on?
I don't know. Again, it's
Calgary?
Yeah.
Well,
either team, I guess, but Calgary.
I would say you've got to look at the cap issues, you know, because as you can always move pieces to make them fit. My guess is if Van Riemsdyk goes to free agency, which we expect to have happen, my guess is I don't think you can ever preclude him from playing for a Canadian team again. But I also think being an American, he might be more inclined to go closer to home. And then it comes back to, well, can the Flames afford to give a guy a 5 or a 6 year deal at $6 million plus? Because that's what Van Riemsdyk's going to get, I think.
Well, and Tkachuk's coming, going to be ready for his new contract. Yes. And you have Goudreau and Tkachuk who are left wingers. So does James Van Riemsdyk want to sign up to play behind those guys again?
Yeah.
I think he's a better fit in Edmonton because you got 97 and 29 there.
Yeah.
Fit him in on the wing with one of them.
Well, and just get to the right spots.
He can do that. Like, that's what he does, right?
Party time.
He gets
and help the power play.
Right? Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, he's on such a heater right now. Yeah, you can't take these goals away. Like, they're in. Yeah. It counts. But this
and it's
is
not
absurd.
Like he's never been in this universe before.
Right, he scores.
But, you know, obviously it's a great year and will end up being a career year for him. But, I mean, he's, you know, on a bad year, he's probably 25 money in the bank.
Absolutely. Bob
McKenzie
in studio.
He's got to get the 40, though. 40's a nice number.
What's he at now? 33, 35?
Yeah, I think 33. Yeah.
When you got to 40, Jeff, did you feel pressure to get to 40 again? Or was it more about that, like, hey, I got to, like, this is what I feel I can do?
I'll tell you what, I played on bad teams, and it was in Carolina where nobody else scored. So it's like the next year I scored 31, and they were like, what's wrong with this guy? I'm like, are these people high? Like, besides these other people I'm playing with, they got 14 goals and they're awesome, but I got 31. That's no good.
When you know, I think I know the answer to this question, but when you play on a team you know isn't that good, and that, I guess it really, and especially if you're wired to be a goal scorer and you are wired to be a goal scorer, you just get to the point where it's like, I'm not even worried about winning. It's like, I just get my goals and I'm good.
Bobby, I think it was Stevie Francis, the basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, it's a culture. It's just you look around and you know what's around you and how good they are and what they're like. I would sit and I'd be in training camp and I'm looking around going, what the hell? What are these guys going to do? We're not going anywhere.
So get your 30. And
but I will say this. One year I went to the Stanley Cup Finals and I did the same thing in training camp. I'm like, we're losers. Like, we're the Durham Bulls.
Like, and you were a leader in the room. Just taking kids under your wing. This is how you react to day one at camp. We're awful. This is how the vets do it.
Well, dude, every trade deadline, you're looking. Colorado loads up. Detroit loads up. And we get Danny Markov. It's like, all right. But in saying that, we...
Cup final's a cup final.
Yeah, but I've told you 100 times, the Cinderella team, they never win it. They get there, they never win.
Yep.
So it's like, who cares? You're a loser.
With Bob McKenzie in studio.
Matt, looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah, now it's all
this
dawning
pisses
on
me
him.
Off, man. I think if I you go to a team like that, go to cup finals and you won a cup, and like, well, how come I wasn't there?
Could have been you.
Anywho.
Could have been you. Matthew's returning tonight. Are you, like, with the shoulder stuff, which is what he's dealing with, I'm sure you saw his comments last weekend where he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he's not certain he'll ever be 100% again this year.
Right.
But he's got to learn to deal with it, and everyone's playing through injuries. Yeah. Does that lead you to be a bit pessimistic about how he's going to play, or do you feel like it's going to be the same old Matthews? Maybe not starting tonight, but by game one.
Yeah, it may take a while to get back in the rhythm again. You've got to assume that he's fine and he take a hit. As long as he can take a hit and it's not like, oh, then, you know, you're, you know, two steps back already. And, yeah, he should be fine, but you're right. I mean, that's... But that's, you know, part of the deal, and O would know that having played the game is, and this is what oftentimes separates really good players from just okay players is the ability to know that you're not 100%, that you don't feel good, you don't feel exactly right, and you still say, okay, but that's okay. I'll be fine, and I'll be a problem solver, and I'll find my way.
One of my favorite stories, and Brian knows it, I used to be the first guy off for warm-up every time. And this Radim Verbata character comes in the locker room, peels all his gear off, and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I got like a chest cold or something. He goes, I'm not playing tonight. I looked at him, what? He goes, yeah, I'm kind of stuffed up. It's like in my chest, and I'm kind of stuffy, and I'm not playing. I had to have a team meeting, and I go, if anybody ever doesn't play for this team because of that, you gotta leave. I can't do this.
The sniffles.
Yeah, it was like a skit out of Seinfeld. He's like, yeah, kind of stuffed up and I don't feel good. I'm wow. Like, so you're not playing tonight? He goes, no, I'm going home. I couldn't believe it. The NHL.
I don't know if it's true or not, but Scotty Bowman always maintained that some players, he said, some players he coached had the great capacity, no matter how badly they, you know, like Steve Yzerman at the end, his knees were like just gone.
I played golf with Stevie Yzerman after they beat us out of the cup finals, and this guy couldn't even walk.
Yeah, and so he said, there's a guy, he says, he always maintained, and I don't know if it's true, but it's what Scotty said, that Sergei Fedorov was a guy who, if he was off, if he had an injury, he was coming back from it, if he wasn't 100%, he couldn't be effective, that he needed to be...
I could never call my father to say that I missed a game because of the...
And I don't think Scotty was saying that Fedorov was soft, just that some players are able to park it and forge ahead, and some players recognize that things aren't quite right, and therefore they don't get to 100%. So that's your point with Matthews, mm-hmm. and I guess we'll see. You know, if he's saying it's going to affect him for the rest of the season, if he pots goals and is busy and in the middle of everything, then it's not affecting him. But if he's not, then maybe he is one of those guys. But I would suspect it's the former, not the latter.
I've seen a lot of times, Bobby, where a guy's at pregame meal, they never went to morning skate, they're sick as a dog. Best player on the ice.
Yeah,
they're like, I'll give it a try. And they play unbelievable. Yeah. That's why when this guy peeled his gear off and said, I'm out of here, I'm like...
Well, I mean, with
you do
Zaitsev,
that too when you come home from vacation.
But I show up. Like, I'm
no,
here.
You don't.
I'm miserable.
This guy never shows up on Mondays when he goes away on the weekend.
Dude, I was literally here on Monday after being away.
Before you never did.
I've already scheduled that for Vegas.
He's become a veteran.
That's right.
He's learned leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows that he...
If you party Friday and Saturday, you should be able to work on Monday.
He knows that he can't bust your balls if he's not showing leadership himself.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I have a certain standard that I want to bring to this
radio
show.
He's now a veteran.
Show.
He's a grit grinder.
Yeah, I figured it out.
He's got the hat on.
It's a great-looking hat. And Zaitsev's coming back too, and he's coming back from like a bad case of the flu. Or
and he wasn't playing well before, and
awful.
I mean, he was off for that period of time with the injury, and then he comes back, and he wasn't very good, and then he gets the flu. So that's an interesting one because there's not a lot of time here, and they need him to get back to whatever peak was for him, and in between the last injury and the illness, the point in between wasn't peak Zaitsev.
No, it wasn't. He hasn't had a very good year all year, but like they've paid him and they've committed to him as a top four guy, you know, and he's got to bring that to the table, you know. And before he got injured, he was playing a lot of penalty kill minutes. I think he may have been averaging more ice time for defensemen than anyone else, Riley and Gardner included. He was real close to it. Like, Babcock's got a lot of time for him.
Yes.
But Babcock's also a realist. If he's not bringing it, he's got to compensate somehow. And I would assume he would lean towards Pollock compensating those minutes, but where does Dermott stand in this conversation? Like, as we get closer to the playoffs, a big game like tonight, is he capable of more minutes? Will they give him more minutes?
I think he is, and obviously there's some fear there. And Babcock has referenced it on multiple occasions where he's got one part of the game down pat, you know, the part with the puck, and he still makes a lot of mistakes. But that's their job to work on that. But he brings a lot to the table, that's for sure.
Patrick Laine's out more than likely for a couple of weeks, but only a bruised foot. That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, you know what, though? And I understand what Winnipeg's saying. They're saying, hey, you know, Paul Maurice first said nothing sinister, and now they're saying x-rays are negative, which is good.
Deep bone bruises sometimes
worse. But how many times has a bone bruise turned out to keep a guy out as long as a fracture.
And hurts
or
him.
Or sometimes, a lot of the time, it's like, yeah, the x-rays and then and whatever, and a week or 10 days in, sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case with Laine, maybe he'll miss 2-3 games, he'll be back and everything will be fine. We don't know. But I do know this, there are a lot of guys that get the bone bruise diagnosis and like 5 to 7 days in and they're not getting better. So they go back and they start doing MRIs or CT scans and ultrasounds and different imaging over and above an x-ray and they go, oh, guess what? Just saw a fracture there. It's going to be 2 to 4. It's going to be 4 to 6 or whatever. And I hope that's not the case. And I'm not suggesting it is with Laine. All I'm saying is at this time of the year, you can put whatever name you want on it. But until you see the guy starting to get stronger and be able to deal with more, you know, not have as much pain and skate and ramp it up. And because we're to the playoffs. We're literally, a couple of weeks away?
Yeah, 2 weeks away, I guess, give or take. And he's, needless to say, a huge part of that program. But it's kind of a bummer because now the Rocket's more than likely been determined. I guess Ovi's got it. There's a couple of guys that are in contention, Laine was pushing.
While Bill Carlson turns it up a notch.
Wouldn't that be a story?
If that guy's name was Bob McKenzie from Vancouver, he'd be talked about for the heart. I'm serious. He would be.
Carlson?
40 goals and plus 35 and his team's winning all those games.
Malkin's on the hunt, too.
Yeah, he's
in right the race for too. Goals.
Yeah. That's the Carlson thing is bizarro world, but then so is everything in Vegas for sure.
Yeah. But if I was an owner and I left a guy unprotected that scored 40 goals the next year, I'd say you.
Look at his numbers.
I know. I just wouldn't want to see it.
And look at Columbus right now. They're on fire. Like they're back in the playoffs.
They've won 9 in a row.
9 in a row. And they got Florida in town tonight. That's a big game.
Huge.
For both teams.
Huge.
Yeah, that's a big, big game, but Columbus, I mean, they got it back on the rails. And
yes, they do.
I'm with you. I would think, at the very least, there's got to be like an audit or something. Like, what did we miss? Can we go back and watch the games from 2 years ago? Like,
yeah.
But gear up, because Bettman just said you were down there in Florida. When Seattle comes, it's going to be the exact same program, right?
Yeah, although, as I said before, I think it'll be interesting. The teams were so eager to use the expansion draft to their advantage. And in this instance, Columbus wanted to get rid of the David Clarkson contract. And Carlson was the price to get rid of it. And Florida was so eager to get rid of the Riley Smith contract that Jonathan Marchessault became the price to get rid of Riley Smith. So you had all these teams that were looking at the expansion draft, not in terms of what do I do to protect myself as much as what can I do to alleviate financial issues or cap issues?
How do I benefit from
this? How do we flip this around and make this expansion draft a positive experience for us from a financial point of view? And, you know, maybe they either overthought it or put too much of a premium on that. But I mean,
if I'm Seattle, Bobby, I go right to Kelly McCrimmon and I say, you've been through this recently, and I'll say, you're a smart guy. I'll say,
yeah, I disagree. I think that George McPhee just showed having the experience is what you need in dealing with the managers. And that's not a knock on Kelly McCrimmon. I think it's an experienced person's job.
Being honest with the other GMs, knowing the way the other GMs think
honest.
And work.
Kelly's an honest guy, and he's sharp, and he's good. And I think he's got a chance to be a general manager in the league. I want somebody that's got experience dealing with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's a big job. You're dealing with 31 teams trying to put together a team.
It is a good point.
And keep this in mind, too. All the managers have learned from the last expansion.
That's my point. They're going to look a lot longer and harder at this whole experience. And again, I haven't done the exercise, but when the Seattle expansion draft occurs, I'll be curious how many fewer players are on no move clauses. Then, because what we've seen is teams have been gravitating away from no move clauses, full no trades, trying as much as possible to have modified no trades instead of full no moves. And will there actually be a substantially less number of players on no move clauses? Because, you know, again, Ottawa didn't get killed in the expansion draft, but the fact that they wanted to leave Phaneuf exposed and he wouldn't allow his no move clause to be waived meant they effectively had to get rid of Mathot.
Right. Well, and I'll say this too, if it happens in the next 2 years, the Toronto experience would be very different because they lost Brendan Leipzig and fans were like, all right, whatever, we're good. But if it's the same rules and parameters,
right,
you're losing Connor Brown next time. Well, or Dermott.
Kenny Holland, I thought, had the right approach at this last year's. I mean, I shouldn't say the right approach, but his approach was, we're losing one player. I'm not, you take whoever you want.
Yep.
He didn't engage with George and just said, I'm going to lose a player, take whoever you want.
Yep. Protect who we're going to protect. And yeah,
he said, that'll be my philosophy.
Gotta lose a
player. Take
him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, keep
we
in mind
anyway.
Where that player is in your lineup, like on your roster.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And listen, again, Columbus, it's not like they plummeted to the bottom of the league because William Karlsson isn't there anymore. You know, the Florida one might be more interesting because Riley Smith has been a godsend.
He's been really good,
too.
And yet, I mean, and it's easy to criticize, and most people have, but if your owner comes to you and says,
get rid of this guy,
we need, you know, $7 million out of the budget. You can't lose $5 or $7 million from your payroll or your budget and not, you know, not cut flesh on the way out. I mean,
so true.
You know, that's real. They knew when they got rid of Riley Smith that this guy still is an NHL player. He still can score goals, but we need his contract gone. But the fact that they compounded it with Marcia's home.
That one stings.
Yeah.
Those two might help. All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Bob.
There's Bob McKenzie on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. And for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.